Just in case that this is the same information.
Alright, sure, killing their tree, Bob, that's fine.
But it's the same thing, so.
Yeah, probably you put it on top.
I think so.
Wherever you want, it doesn't matter to me.
We are scheduled this morning for a public hearing in front of the Taney County Commission regarding the Planning Commission's recommended amendments to the Taney County Development Guidance Code. These are for our consideration today. The public hearing, of course, is for the public to offer comments regarding these proposed recommended amendments from Planning and Zoning. Mr. Ashley, do you have some opening comments?
Not really. Just exactly what you said. The Planning Commission has held a set of advertised public hearings in which they are recommending these proposed amendments. And per the provisions of Chapter 64 of Missouri Revised Statute, the County Commission can amend the regulations from time to time after they have received a recommendation from the Planning Commission. And so at this point, we're holding a public hearing to do just that.
Have you, what have we done exactly with the proposed amendments? Have these been posted? Have they been?
They have been posted on the website for quite some time. And
the public notification, how did you post this so people knew about this hearing?
Okay. Well, this has been posted in the paper. It was posted in the legal section of the paper. But we went above and beyond that. There's also been some articles written in the paper as well, just to kind of go above and beyond what's required statutorily.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, let me say that I believe that our responsibility today is to hear from the public regarding what you've proposed. And at this time, I would like to call on any member of the public to come one at a time, if you will, to the podium and either offer suggestions, recommendations, questions, whatever it is that you would like to state about these proposed recommended amendments. And who would like to begin? Yes, sir. And for the record, as each of you come up, if you would state your name.
My name is Don Earhart. And 2006, there was a vote by popular people that said that, or popular vote by people, some very popular people. And the vote was about building codes. And it was voted against. In other words, Taney County should not adopt any new building codes. Okay? And a lot of this is to do with the placement of buildings. And as far as I'm concerned, that's a building code. Because you're telling a person where you can put a building and how you should place it. And when it comes to fencing, things like this. I also have another problem. Page 9, which says Appendix F, Land Disturbance Permit Application Requirements.
Give me a good chance. Page 9?
So that's page 9 at the bottom, correct?
At the bottom, yes.
Different pages.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Or Appendix F, page 52 of 107, if you want to follow the guideline.
Oh, okay, if you're going off the top, it's 52.
Yes.
At the bottom, it's page 9. Gotcha.
Okay. You're not trying to confuse me. I understand this.
Okay. I'm just trying to follow along.
Okay. It says, no land grading except hand clearing or brush hogging shall commence on any property before all proper permits have been obtained. Land disturbance permits are required for any development site where the affected land area exceeds 1 acre. Okay, I know there's a state. This is per state code. They have the same thing with the state Department of Natural Resources. But I also want to make sure that we don't include agriculture in this.
And that's one of the things I did want to make sure that was understood is there is a provision in another area of the code book that does exempt agricultural uses.
And we didn't affect that statement.
No, there's not a proposal to amend that in any way. And of course, he's exactly correct. We want to make sure that we're in compliance with the state law, and the state law does exempt agricultural uses.
Okay.
All lot sizes, I know that you're getting down to table one on all of the, on below that, on page 19, 107, on the same page 9. Now, I just picked this up, so I'm not really aware of everything on here. But it does talk about minimum lot sizes, and this falls under building. And I think we need to take a real close look at what we've been trying to do with the popular vote on code changes, building code changes, because this directly affects building. And I hope we... we'll realize this, and it hasn't been tried before county court systems yet, but I don't know, it may get to that. So before it happens, I think it's worth a good look at. That's all I have to say.
On each one of these questions, Bob, let's make a decision and or points. Do we answer them individually from your perspective, or shall you take notes and then let's chat about them afterward? It doesn't make a difference to me. I'm just and I think that if there's a direct question from any individual that presents and they want an answer at that time, it would be helpful to me to hear it at that time. If not, then I want you to go over all these questions with us afterwards.
Yes. I mean, it's really at the commission's discretion. I can
let's leave
really
it up
approach
to the,
it either
let's
way.
Let's leave it up to each individual as they ask the questions, if that's all right.
Okay.
Who would like to speak next? Shirley. Bob, let me ask you this. Aside from the individuals that are here, have you had any written or verbal communication from individuals since P&Z has presented this to the County Commission that we should be made aware of regarding these changes?
The primary communications I've had have really been regarding the proposed duplex amendments beginning on page 5. There are a number of both individuals and developers who have basically sought approval for condominium-style ownership developments. And what has happened is a number of these developments have had some real hardships as far as obtaining loans from banks. A lot of banks, banking institutions are just simply not loaning on something that's under a condominium-style ownership. And so the intent here was to have some provisions for what we define as a duplex, which would allow for individual ownership basically of each side of the duplex. A number of these condominium style developments are wishing to dissolve their condominium associations, and they're wanting to become more traditional types of duplex or townhouse developments.
So you're regarding this, you have heard no opposition to the proposed changes to regarding it as the duplex, but only of support.
Exactly, exactly.
And that's what I've heard too. I mean, so.
And I would say those have been the primary comments that our office has received. We've really not received a whole lot of comment otherwise on really the other provisions. Now, I will say that the buffering provisions have really impacted some individuals. We've had a number of individuals.
Take me to the page that's on.
It's on page one. The reasoning behind that provision was really to give the Planning Commission more additional flexibility, because right now the way that the development code is written, a number of individuals that have had commercial proposals have actually had to seek a variance from the buffering requirements just because they've had great difficulty meeting the current requirements the way they're written. Because right now one portion of the code book is actually requiring a 25-foot vegetative buffer. The other area is actually requiring a 40-foot vegetative buffer. And in some of these instances, we're having individuals that just don't have a sufficient size of lot to allow for 25-foot of buffering. The proposed amendments would actually allow for more discretion as far as allowing the Planning Commission to approve fencing or other forms of buffering besides a set distance of vegetative buffering. And it would really allow for a lot more flexibility. We haven't gotten a lot of feedback other than from the developers that have come through the process and had to seek variances from this provision. We have had probably three or four different commercial proposals in which the applicant had to seek a variance from these provisions.
So let me sum that up. It just gives the property owner an alternative to...
Exactly. It would really allow for privacy fencing, a wall, earth berm. It would allow them to propose much more than just the 25-foot vegetative buffer.
So at the bottom of the page where I see 40 feet marked out and 25 written in, that then takes care of the conflict that you
Exactly. Because currently we actually do have this conflict in our regulations as well, where in one area it speaks to a 25-foot wide buffer. In the other area, it actually speaks to a 40-foot wide buffer. And that was a huge concern from the staff's perspective, just because we do have that inconsistency.
So, Bob, if you could help me walk through this process. So we're going to have the hearing, close the hearing. Are you expecting a vote today? Are you expecting us to repost this, have a vote then? What is the normal? And then if there is a vote, do we vote on the entire document or vote on different line items? And then based off the vote, when does this go into effect?
What I've customarily seen is a vote on the individual items, and that would really allow for the commission to either approve specific amendments or to deny specific amendments or to refer any of those proposed amendments back to the Planning Commission for additional review. I think from my perspective, I was hopeful that we could vote on these items, but I do think it's at the discretion of the commission.
Are there any changes that are contained within this document from the last time that you presented it to us?
No. It's still the same items. The one thing that I do want to bring to bear is there are some proposed amendments to the subdivision regulations on page 4. In the meantime, following the work sessions that were held with the County Commission, the staff has actually drafted an entirely new set of subdivision regulations. They're strictly a draft at this point, and these draft subdivision regulations are actually being reviewed by the Planning Commission. They're going to begin that review this next Monday evening.
So what we're looking at is a work in progress that you're going to continue to come back to us with potential changes, at which time we'll always conduct a public hearing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. By statute, it has to come through an advertised public hearing process, both in front of the Planning Commission and in front of the County Commission.
Can I get you to address the two concerns for us that Mr. Earhart brought up?
I've not had a great deal of time to do a whole lot of research, but it is my understanding that the vote that was undertaken in 2006 concerned building codes, and our development guidance code actually falls under the statutes that regard zoning and subdivision of land. With zoning, with the zoning ordinance or land use regulations, they many times designate setback requirements and other things as far as the placement of structures. However, we do not have any authority to do building inspections. Building codes would actually go into specifics as to how the structure was to be constructed, how the electrical and plumbing systems were to be put in place. There would be a number of specific specifics about how these buildings are constructed, and we do not have that authority.
Okay. Mr. Earhart?
I think you will read what people voted on. It has to do with building. That doesn't say building structure. Okay. It says building. And that covers anything built. That means roads, bridges, everything. If there's a code that's added to in this or a new one in this county, that's what the people voted on. And it didn't give a disclaimer. And I think that I think people should do due diligence to this to find out exactly what the people voted on, because I think the people were duped if you say it doesn't apply to planning and zoning.
And I've not had an opportunity to research this vote a whole lot at this point, I mean, being completely frank with you. But it is my understanding that what was voted on was building codes, but I would like to do some additional research.
Mr. Earhart, other than Appendix F, which you have addressed both of your questions to, which are found on pages 9 and 10 of this document, the recommended amendments that are found on the other pages, do you see anything there that
you
have a question about?
Oh, yes. All these on roads? See, that's building. If you're doing a road, what would you say if you were putting in a road? Wouldn't you say you was building a road, constructing a road? What would you say? We're putting in a road.
I understand.
Wouldn't you say we're building a road? Danny? Wouldn't you say building a road would be proper?
I understand.
And you could say when you're putting up a building is we're constructing a building. It wouldn't be building, it would be constructing it. You can do different wording any way you want to do. That's what good old English language is all about, you know. If we don't like one word, we'll use another word. Say the same thing. I mean, in politics, you do it all the time.
So, now help me out. Right. I'm not trying to be facetious.
I'm not either. Get
to the heart of this.
Yes.
Your interpretation, then, of building codes affects more than buildings.
Oh, yes. Anything to do with structures, lands, anything. Anytime you're building and there's a code that you put out, you don't have to put out a code. And a person can build it any way they want to. But as soon as you do put out a code, and before 2006, that's fine. But after 2006, I'm saying I'm objecting to it because of popular vote. Popular vote of the people says, no new building code. That's what And I don't care if you bring a state statute in. Doesn't make any difference. This county has a choice whether to have the state statute count or not. And if we do impose a state statute, I want you to know that there is another law. It's called the Hancock Amendment, and you're familiar with it, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Jim.
Mm-hmm.
That says what? If the state, if you're requiring it because of the state statute, then you, the state must be paying you for this. Isn't that correct?
I mean, okay. I believe where you're going, yes, so far.
So, we're calling all the state statute things that we're requiring our codes, we're falling under the Hancock Amendment. Now, I know the Hancock Amendment's got a lot of loopholes, but this isn't one of them.
Well, as far as the state mandating costs on counties or cities, they have found that the easiest loophole for them is if we don't appropriate, we can mandate, and you're going to do it.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And therefore, the state does not appropriate, so we're not reimbursed for the expense. The local governments are out. And to be honest with you, I'd not given any thought to building codes being anything other than codes for building a building. And I would like to address that, Bob, at least to whether it be a council or whatever. Do you guys have comments about that? I don't. I mean, from a layman's perspective, I don't interpret it that way, but I hear what you're saying.
I wish it would have been more thorough on what was asked of the voters to vote on. However, it wasn't. So therefore, we must draw the line right down the line that it was voted on that there should be no more building codes, new building codes. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments from the public? Mr. Atchley, comments from you, sir?
I think the only comment I would really have is I would like to do a little more research, but it's always been my understanding and my interpretation that what was likely voted on was building codes, and that building codes, normally there's going to be a statute, and I'll give you an example. We adopted planning and zoning under the provisions of 64-800, and I would assume that this question was very similar when it was posed to the voters, but the question that would be posed to the voters for planning and zoning would be as simple as should county planning be adopted, and so it likely was, but I would feel that original vote probably referred to a specific statute, probably referred to a statute referring to building codes, which govern the construction of structures, essentially.
The surprising thing is, I think that vote fell in 1966.
Mm-hmm.
When Grant was president.
Exactly.
Gentlemen, do you have any more comments?
Yes, I do, but I don't know whether this is the appropriate time of other things that are in the code, Ron. You've heard me voice my opinion about reasonable, customer-friendly, all the things that go along with what county operations should be. As I read through here, and I was actually sliding through this thing the other day when it was sent to us, and where it talks about the amount of seating that you put down, where in the world does government have the right to talk to you and tell you how many pounds of seed per acre that you should put down and when you should put it down? I'm not going to put a bunch of seed down in the middle of the wintertime when it ain't going to come up. So I just was, those kind of things that need to be restructured in this.
But those amendment. Are things that are currently in the code. And
we just need them re-looked at.
We're talking about those amendments to the code that are, I think.
I'm just saying that they're scattered throughout this thing. We've got a few things that we're addressing, but we've got things like this that are scattered throughout this code book that needs to be looked at.
I agree with you. P&Z are picking what areas to start with, however they go about that process, and these are the areas that they're bringing to us first, and that, as you said, or I used the word ongoing, it is an ongoing process, that you're going to be bringing us other recommended amendments to this code as well from P&Z.
Yes, and of course, like I said, the first one really, and it's a pretty substantial change, or proposed change, deals primarily with subdivision regulations, where the staff's actually proposing to remove the subdivision regulations from the Taney County Development Guidance Code, allowing for one separate set of regulations that deals exclusively with subdivision of land. And we wanted something that spelled things out in more detail, that really explained things in more detail. But you're exactly correct. The Planning Commission is going to begin reviewing those proposed changes this next Monday evening.
Can I explain myself, Ron?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The thing of it is I come before the Planning and Zoning Commission with some ideas, and they seem to be accepted by all those gentlemen set on that commission and visited and couldn't understand why we were doing things in a certain manner. I'm not going to stand up there and go through this entire code and pick out these individual things and take up all their time because they won't remember what I said to begin with. I felt like the most important things I addressed, I had very many compliments from P&Z board members and everybody else that heard about it, about the changes that were needed to be made in this code. The statement that I made about this, the amount of seed, is just one similar thing that needs to be addressed throughout this code. And as we change the code book in which we've addressed, and we hired Mr. Ashley to do, those kind of things need to be addressed, and we're piecing and parting it together whenever the entire thing needs to be restructured.
And that's honestly my hope, and Commissioner Strahan is actually correct. The amendments that are before you today, the majority of these are actually proposals from 2009 and 2010, with a few amendments being added this last year. The Planning Commission really just kept requesting that the staff bring these back to the County Commission. In the meantime, the staff is also working on a complete rewrite of the regulations per my original understanding from the commission, and we've begun that entire rewrite with the subdivision regulations first, and that was primarily because that seemed to be the key area where there were a number of concerns that were expressed concerning such items as an exemption for cemeteries. Another item was currently a subdivision of land is 40 acres or less. What's actually being proposed in the new regulations, it is looking at less than 10 acres, looking at tracts less than 10 acres in size. And so there are a number of things that we're trying to address with these new subdivision regulations, but basically those are just at a point where we're bringing those before the Planning Commission. And they, at this point, they're just strictly a staff proposal. They may, it's highly likely that before they reach the County Commission, they'll be amended in various areas. I just think as it comes through a public hearing process in front of the, before the Planning Commission, it'll likely be amended a great deal.
I got something to say about one of these things that you've got proposed here, and I'm all for trying to figure out how we can do this on these duplexes, because that's been a very controversial issue, and it's been a complication for a lot of people that's doing the building. Is there state law that provides, I made mention of this before, that there be a firewall or some protection between units that separates the ownership as well as separates the protection of the citizens. That's my most important thing to think about, is the fact that I take Mr. Earhart's comments seriously about the changing of the code, but I also think about the safety of one family sleeping in one side and a fire on the other side of the building, and they do not even have separation of ownership.
Yes.
I understand your concern there, Don, and think that's very, very well taken, but I want to get that addressed where people can that own one part of a building have true ownership of that building, and they also have a protective feeling that when they lay down at night, they're not going to end up in a fire that somebody else in the neighbor that has started over there, and they don't have time to get out. And I suppose somewhere down the line, whenever I was in the construction business and in the electrical business, there was a firewall that was, it was from the state fire people that there was a firewall that you had to plug every hole that was knocked through that firewall with a certain amount of integrity to the wall. And so I don't know, I don't want to step out of bounds here, but we need to get this addressed where these people can go ahead and have some protection under the rules that we've set up and still yet not invade on the vote of what the citizens did.
Question for me regarding that is, are not the vast majority of the individuals that are talking about this people who already have a building that's in place?
You are correct.
It's really constructed. It's there.
Well, I'd say you've got both scenarios.
Okay.
You've got the scenario where there are individuals that own the current structure that's there. You've also got individuals that were the original developers of some of these developments that were approved as condo-style developments that are wishing to convert those condo-style developments into duplex developments, basically. So they're wanting to build future buildings as duplexes, not having to sell them as condo-style ownership, because they're, I guess it's my understanding, they're having a great deal of difficulty getting any type of bank loans, any type of bank financing.
I think throughout our county we have developers that would be building right now if they could get this duplex deal straightened out. I think there would be people that would be bringing dollars into the county through construction efforts if we could get this settled. As many as what you're saying.
Does this page 5, these individuals' perspective that have contacted you, feel that this answers their question?
I really believe that they do. I mean, everyone that's contacted us has expressed a great deal of support for this anyway.
I haven't had one person that's offered objection about this, and that's why
I haven't either.
They actually were part of the writing of it, though, too. I mean, they collaborated as community members to write this code so that it met all the needs of all the people that were interested in this.
That's my understanding as well. And one of the things, if I could, and I may be able to address one of Commissioner Strahan's questions as well. I'll be honest, I have not ever completed research to see if there are any state requirements concerning the firewall. I did, however, I have spoken with the county attorney because one of my concerns, was, do we have the ability to do this? And he's not given me a written legal opinion, but verbally he told me that he did feel that we did have the authority to look at this, to do this.
I'm curious if the commission would consider adopting this page and hold the rest for future consideration. I say that because I know the different groups that have, as you said, were instrumental in drafting this. They feel that it answers the questions at hand. They feel that they can market a product that currently they can't, or it's very difficult, and or get financing for it too. What do you think, Dan?
Well, Ron, my only question is, does this answer the question?
They
think so. We've heard this from contractors and individuals. Does this answer the question of a separation of property ownership and a firewall?
Look, what I would say is it gets it closer than it is today.
No doubt.
And it's safer. This will be a safer solution to the citizens in those in those buildings than we have right now. And there's no way to modify this without starting the process over. So my proposal would be minimum adopt this page and then ask Bob to research more if there's any more, if we can go a little more strict on it. I mean, okay. When you're saying a masonry separation wall, enclosure type, I mean, the wording's all but saying a fire safety wall. Meaning life safety needs.
Well, we can't go back and change those that are existing, obviously.
Correct. Well, we can't change this, but we can take what he's gotten and say, go research more. Maybe we need to make another
change. Exactly. Okay.
But I know that this
really
is better than we've got.
Yeah.
Well, where did it change, though?
We never had it. This is all brand new.
I know
new.
What I'm saying is, where did it change from the 70s, all the way back in the 70s? Where did it change when they had firewalls, when they actually had a block wall that went through, or it didn't have to be a block. It could be a fireproof wall that went through the ceiling. It had to be 2 foot or whatever their requirement was. I don't know where it changed.
I heard
sure
it. All I've heard asking about that in some conversations that I haven't confirmed, it was an optional. It was never mandated. Yeah. And over time, it just was no longer mandated because there was no way to mandate it.
Either way, to add more to this, we have to go through the P&Z procedure and have a recommendation from P&Z that comes back to us for another public hearing to do that. Is that correct, Bob?
That's always been my understanding. I mean, the way the statute actually reads, it just says the regulations imposed and the districts created under the authority of Section 64845 to 64880 may be amended from time to time by the County Commission by order after the order establishing the same has gone into effect, but no amendment shall be made by the County Commission except after recommendation of the County Planning Commission. And so that's always been my understanding of that.
Dude, can I ask you?
Sure.
Don, you were the only one that got spoke, but are there other gentlemen here that this affects? Do you have a problem with what they're addressing here with these duplexes? I mean, I should have directed that to you to ask him. But what I'm saying is, I'm trying to figure out.
I'm with you. Go right ahead, Don.
Okay, my name is Don Earhart again. And as some of you may know or may not know, I've been in engineering construction for most of my life. And I built buildings. And, you know, this is not something new, this firewalls. Insurance companies are the ones required, okay? And the banks would say, well, what does the fire marshal have to say about this? And the thing about it is a contractor can put in his proposal that this is being built per standard of state fire marshal, which includes, you know, a block wall containing 2, you know, 8x16 blocks side by side, and with sheetrock on each side. Now this is a firewall, and you know, any bank in the world outside of these banks that we've got now, they're run under a whole new different organization now than they were 10 years ago because of all this housing problem we've had. And the state and the federal have all kicked in. But now, when I was doing it, it was up to the bank to say, is this house, you know, constructed to where there's no problem getting house insurance or apartment insurance. I mean, we've had Taney Como Terrace built down here, and they put firewalls in it. You know, it's nothing new. This is And I'm asking, why is the county even addressing it? These people that are building these buildings should be, the contractor should be addressing it so you can get insurance. That's it. There should be no county code on this as such. It's a multiple of the county getting involved, the state getting involved, the federal getting involved, when all it should be is the person building the building should be saying, this is going to be built according to this code. And the county don't have to require it, but the contractor has to require it, be required to furnish it. And I'm all for codes. Don't get me wrong. I worked on the National Electrical Code, the National Plumbing Code for years. And for the most part, they're good, but they cost citizens money. They do this. And not only that, anytime we take a code here and make a big code book, it should be voted on by the people. You know, that's what I'm striving for. I'm not saying I'm against all this. I'm just saying I'm against the way it's being handled.
The separation of ownership, that's very important to me. And
yes.
The thing that this provides in this sheet right here is separation of ownership.
True.
And that's the only thing that I really have, it and protection of families on one side or the other. And we got wrote in here about a one-hour fireproof wall.
Yeah, well, if you have a double block wall,
I know,
there's a good separation point there.
Right. So, to answer your question, Mr. Houseman, I'm not against voting on this sheet of requirements.
Page 6, the next page, Bob, where you deal with Division 2 permits, and it looks like you're adding the word duplex. I see the provision for that permit. I mean, and so that you're understanding, I think what we're trying to do as a commission to get to approve page 5, or at least we're leaning that way. But does page 6 need to be included in that in order for this to be a complete solution?
It really does, because page 6 is really linked.
The permitting process of a duplex.
Exactly, to page 5.
Okay, that's what it looked like to me, and that's why I wanted to point that out to the other two commissioners, is that page 5 and 6 would kind of go together.
This is a little off the subject, but one thing I would really strongly request anyway is that we really undertake seriously considering amending these buffering requirements. And the only reason is I think we're going to continue to see a number of cases where I'm going to have to require a variance if we don't.
So you're saying page 1, 5, and 6.
Exactly.
And page 1, once again, is just giving the commission board, the Planning and Zoning Commission, more flexibility.
Exactly. On page 2 and 3, I don't really feel like there's any substantial changes there. Page 2 and 3 is really just speaking to the separation of the sewer district from the county, in which now we have the planning department in conjunction with the state actually doing the on-site wastewater inspections. It is the only reason that there was a change in those areas.
And I see that.
Because it refers specifically to the Taney County region.
But not the applicable system.
Exactly.
I think what you're doing is basically
I'm trying
not limiting.
Exactly. I just didn't want that to ever be. There are some instances.
So pages 1, 2, and 3, and 5, and 6, because it looks like the subdivision of land, I think there has been some discussion on that. That
it's
probably
going to be a separate sheet, the way I understand, Mr. Ashley. It's going to be a separate book
yes.
that is put out
yeah.
that does away with a lot of the restrictions on the property owner.
So, I mean, I'm fine yes. with omitting page 4, Danny, which is that's what we deal with. Subdivision of land.
Well, let me just ask a simple question. Maybe we have to do something different. Why in the world we've got one half of a sentence on page 6, why can't that be put at the bottom of duplexes so people don't have to Yes, if they can go right straight to the duplex side.
We go to the permitting. I think you categorize all permits together, and then that's, so if you want to know what permits, you go to the permit section. Is that what you're doing?
Well, exactly.
What you're doing on that page is changing the verbiage from any two-family dwelling to duplex.
Right,
exactly. Yeah. I don't see why we couldn't add.
We can't add anything to this document. So
yeah.
it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
I'm going to move that we adopt page 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of the proposed plan and zoning ordinances, or modifications, whatever that word is. And I'm referring to the bottom right, using those page numbers. Once again, page 1 is giving flexibility so that the plan zoning can be more flexible in their decisions. I think 2 and 3 strictly are just more nothing, anything to do with anything. And then page 5 and 6 is duplex related.
Let's clarify page 2.
Okay.
What it really does is it scratches out Taney County Regional Sewer District and you change the words applicable wastewater system permitting entity.
Yes.
So it doesn't have to be
just Taney County.
Exactly. And, right. and that was the only intent there, we have some instances, if we're going to have a wastewater treatment plant or the DNR is actually the permitting entity.
Right.
If it's an on-site wastewater system, it's now the state health department in conjunction with the planning department. And then, of course, if it's a connection to the regional sewer district, then it's the regional sewer district.
Basically, we're taking their name out.
Exactly.
We're just taking a specific name out of the code book and saying applicable.
Page 3 does exactly. The exact same thing.
Correct. Page 3
exactly.
Does the same thing.
Exactly.
And then page 5 and 6 is strictly duplex.
Not to further complicate, but
well, I don't even have a second yet, so.
Okay. Can I throw one thing out there?
Well, the motion may die. Procedurally, okay.
Well, I'm just reading through all this.
No, I know. I know.
Come up with. And most of that is just striking the sewer district out of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the one thing that I don't understand why we would approve at this particular moment is page 4 with the subdivision stuff, because that's my understanding. You're redoing
that. You left 4 out.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
You left that out, Jim?
Yes, sir.
I thought it
yes.
was
1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
1, 2, 3, 5, and 6.
I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve, and we'll go by the page numbers at the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, and 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 contained within the recommended amendments from Planning and Zoning Commission. Bob, you had a comment?
You can have this one.
Not to further complicate.
I know he's going to ask for another page. I can feel.
That's what I was going to ask it. But
if that's like a vote of the popular people that Don gave earlier.
I didn't know if there potentially if this could be handled with a second motion. On page 9, table 1, it is somewhat tied to the subdivision regs as well, just as far as lot sizes.
My comment is this is where the two very questions were asked by Mr. Earhart, and
I think
that we need further
I understand.
Information from you before at least I would venture there.
I'm looking, because if we don't adopt page 9, the existing language stays in place.
For the time being,
I agree.
That doesn't mean
I agree. Exactly.
Until we get clarification.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
More discussion on pages 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 of the motion.
Oh, we have one in the back.
Yes, sir.
I actually meant you guys to be right there.
Oh, us guys or this? I didn't know who you're meaning, us guys.
You got to define us guys.
James Strahan, Taney County Assessor. I think there's many questions hadn't been answered with what action you're fixing to take. If you step out our north door of the courthouse and look to the south, you'll see the remodeling of duplexes. And these are federal housing duplexes. And are they requiring any of such nature that the county is requiring on our duplexes within their county? The requirements for building federal housing is tremendously straining. And I would think it would behoove you gentlemen to walk down there and see if we have any such nature inside that complex as being proposed by our local planning and zoning. Now, as far as the sale of duplexes, there's somebody out there got lots of cash, because I get sales letters every day in my office of the sale of duplexes legally in the state of Missouri and filed with the assessor's office. Some of these occurring in old Remus properties. So this argument all started with planning and zoning of the separation of ownership of land. That's the only place this started. I've been following this pretty close. Got into talking about common areas, common walls. There's a complete set of laws and rules to deal with common in the state of Missouri. This is not something that needs to be plucked out of the air somewhere and fabricated. Common is law written in the state of Missouri and covered by state statute. So I'm a little concerned with the adoption of something now that tends to go to the building code area, in which you know how I feel about that if you don't read the past newspapers. But why we're going there when everything is addressed in state and federal laws pertaining to duplexes. And like I say, if it's the banking problem, why am I getting sales letter of duplexes in my office every day? And I guarantee you, in these economic times, people don't have that much cash laying around. They're getting out there and borrowing this money from the financial institutions. That's all I have to say.
Either commissioner have any more comments, discussion? All in favor of the motion to approve pages 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6 as recommended by the Taney County Planning Commission regarding the Taney County Development Guidance Code, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. My suggestion is that we set a time for you to come back to us regarding the balance of what planning and zoning has recommended, with some of the answers to what Mr. Earhart's questions are.
Yes.
And any others that have arisen.
Okay.
I would leave that time frame up to you, but
okay. One of the things too, I'll need to draft some language. This has to be adopted by a county commission via a county commission order. I put together some draft language this morning, but I didn't finalize it just because I wasn't sure what would actually be adopted out of this. And so at a later point today, we'll just need to have an order signed at basically adopting these items that were voted on today.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir. Thank you all from the public for being here today. Gentlemen, the next order of business is executive session regarding personnel. I would entertain a motion.
Motion to go into executive session pursuant 610.021.3.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to go into executive session pursuant to section 610.021 subsection 3. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Danny aye.
Jim aye.
Ron aye. All opposed nay. Motion carries. And Linda, do you want to come up and join us?